You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 478.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station and this podcast, which is really just keeping you in touch with things that have changed or are in the process of changing at the moment, and give you an update as to the reason why I haven't been producing or releasing anything in the last few weeks. It's a cold November day, very cold actually, very bitter at the moment, as I wander around the fields and get my thoughts together. Well, firstly, I just want to say thank you to everybody that voted for Backpacking Light in the TGO Awards, Magazine Awards. I think that's coming to fruition now. I know the voting is closed. I do appreciate people helping us out on the shop. We are just Rose and I battling on. And it's always nice to be appreciated in whatever form it takes. We've been nominated and been runner-up a few times now since they've been running the awards, which is always being very nice. But I noticed that actually nobody's ever nominated the Outdoor Station or me on the Outdoor Station in any of the other media sections, the blogger section or the... I don't know if there's a YouTube section, but a blogger section or whatever. So perhaps that'll change next year. Maybe I'll put my name down myself and say, I've been doing this for years now. Yeah, years actually, 12, 13 years, and almost, 13 million downloads, so that's a million a year. That's not bad, is it? That's very respectable, surely. Anyway, I just wanted to start this with a little bit of a funny story, and I really hope the person concerned in this story doesn't mind, but it tickled us somewhat, and I'm sure it'll do the same for you as well. Now, many a time in the recent podcasts where I've been doing the TGO Challenge and the Sky Trail and the Two Moors Away, I've mentioned that I pop into the local shops and pick up a pasty for lunch or munches to keep me going. Usually cheese and onion pasty, as they'll last several days in the pack without becoming unpleasant. Or unhealthy even. And everybody in the UK, I'm sure, is very familiar with what a pasty is and the nutritional value, as well as the emotional value that good food can give you. However, if you live outside the UK and have never experienced the delightful gourmand taste of a pasty, be it cheese and onion or traditional Cornish pasty, then maybe, just maybe, it's a little confusing. Now, to give you a little bit of history to put this into perspective, a Cornish pasty was developed by the, wives, I suppose, the women of the Cornish tin miners. Think Poldark, when they were down in the deep dark holes and they wanted to eat something. But of course, they had the tin dust or the working dust, as it were, all over their hands, which made whatever they made in those days, which was fairly humble, I'm sure, but made it very gritty and hard to swallow. So the wives came up with this cunning plan of wrapping basically a meat stew in pastry, which it turns it into a bit of a pie, really, but developing a certain crust on it, so that you could actually hold the food by the crust and eat the contents of the food, just leaving the crust with your dirty hands on the outside. Very practical, very useful. And that's basically the history of the pasty, the Cornish pasty. And over the years, the contents of said pasty have changed from stew-type, mince stew with vegetables and this, that and the other in it. That's the sort of the traditional one with potato, into all sorts of exotic things like curry and chicken and mushroom I'm starting to get hungry now. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, anyone in the UK would know exactly what that is. However, Bill Goodrich, a very, very faithful listener. Hi again, Bill. Nice to speak to you again. Who is a postman over in the United States. And he was somewhat confused by this continual reference to pasties that I made over the years. Anyway, curiosity got the better of him. And so he snuck off to his little den, got out his laptop and Googled pasties. Now, those of you who are worldly wise in the way of ladies and ladies in the entertainment world may know that a pasty is also a nipple covering that burlesque dancers use to cover their nipples, and they put tassels on them. So consequently, Bill was rather shocked and surprised to see reference to burlesque dancers and struggled somewhat to understand where the word pasty and burlesque dancers and the outdoor station actually met. As he said in his note to me, most amusingly, he said it was a good job when I Googled it, nobody else was around. It's not a sort of family-friendly thing to do, which I fully understand. But I think, after a little bit of trial and error, he discovered the true meaning of a pasty and found that the gourmand version was completely different from the female accessory, little nipple covering. So I do apologise, Bill, if it confused you. I do apologise if there was anybody else in the family that was sitting over your shoulder while you Googled it, and perhaps that brought you a moment of embarrassment. But it really did tickle Rose and I. So thanks very much for the story and for letting us know. That was brilliant. So, let's now update you to the reason why there have not been any podcasts in the last few weeks. As faithful listeners will know, Rose and I run Backpacking Light, and it's just the two of us, small business, doing what we can and ploughing on as the economy will allow us at the moment. Doing our best, but we haven't got much space. We moved to a cottage in the countryside in good old Blighty a couple of years ago, and it's a small place, very small place, but we are fortunate to have an old orchard as part of the ground. And the reason we chose it and got excited about it was the fact that we could use that orchard for our media or camping or whatever it may be, and showing off the tents and anything outdoory stuff that we may do in the future. So that was the plan, and it all looked very good initially. However, 3 months after we moved in, on Christmas Day, in fact, on Christmas Day, Christmas morning, we had the wonderful, exciting, and extremely disturbing moment when we realised that the septic tank had failed. Now, those of you who live remotely and have experienced the joys of a septic tank will know that when everything's going okay and everything that you send out of the house is disappearing and not coming back, everything is good with the world. However, when you pull the flush on the toilet and it starts to come back at you with a vengeance, things are not so good. And of course, during the national holidays of Christmas Day and Boxing Day, who wants to deal with a pile of... well, you get the picture. Cutting a long story short, that was an extremely expensive problem to solve. In the end, we had to have a completely new water system and water disposal system fitted. It all had to be approved by the environmental agency, etc., etc. But here we are, 12, 18 months later, and thankfully everything seems to be working okay. But for a few weeks, well, actually it went on for a few months, we were continually pumping it out and trying to work out what best to do. Not an easy problem to solve. Now, the reason I mention that is that the guys that fitted the tank for us also laid the foundations of our new storage system, our unit, I suppose. And because it costs so much money, we had a delay in actually getting going in building what we thought would be an early thing that we'd build once we moved in. So, a couple of years down the line, I have now finally started construction of my shed. And attached to my shed is going to be my new studio. I can't wait! And in the studio, well, there's all sorts of exciting things going to be happening and going on. But it would just be nice not to be crammed into a very small corner of a garden shed and be able to get back into producing media in a way that I like and to a standard which I aspire to. Now, I've been standing on the top of this shed. I've tried to record this a couple of times actually. Right at the top of the shed, it's next to a tree, and there's a robin that sits in that tree. And he sings his little heart out. And every time I've tried to record him, he's decided to fly away, which is really frustrating. So I've often sat on the roof of this building, slowly under construction, waiting for the robin to appear, to accompany me and tell the story with this beautiful song, but unfortunately not today. As you can imagine, with only a couple of pairs of hands, it's been pretty difficult to do everything basically. This is the problem, isn't it, these days? If you're running a small business, anybody will know what it's like. It's one thing to actually do the physical business itself, it's all the administration, the paperwork, and in our case, social media and advertising and all the various things that seem to appear from nowhere that require your attention. And on top of that, I'm obviously trying to build a fairly extensive sized space, which, if anybody's ever done that as well, knows exactly what's involved with the amount of planning and preparation and popping off to the shops to get another half dozen lengths of 3x2 or 4x2 or whatever it may be that you suddenly need. So that's the reason why the podcasts have been in short supply. The bottom line is I just can't do everything all the time, which is a shame because as much as I would love to, it's just physically impossible, and a man has to have some rest at some stage. So I do apologise for the slacking in this department of producing material, but there's hopefully good reason and things will improve from a quality point of view once this project is completed, which is going to be a good few weeks yet before the actual place is dry and I can use it. Well, I can store stuff underneath the dry roof, which is, hopefully arriving next week. But I've got to get the roof safe and secure first. Anyway, I digress. But, however, yes, while I've been working on this this unit, I've been thinking about the future and what I'd like to do and how I'd like to involve you, the listener, if you're interested. Probably like me, these days, you spend far too much time on YouTube watching videos of either people's walks or trips or gear reviews or generally people who are quite entertaining. Particularly in the outdoors world, there's a handful of people that immediately come to mind. Some doing bushcraft, some doing more extreme camping, others just being plain silly. But it all makes for an interesting smorgasbord of entertainment, let's put it that way. And I've been wondering about really getting stuck into this live streaming pastime. I am going in the new year, once this building is complete and we've got all the power and everything else, I shall start a live show. I think I'll try and do it once every couple of weeks, which could consist of a whole variety of things of interest to the outdoors person. Could be a bit of news, could be a bit of reviews, some gear reviews perhaps. Could be interviews, talking to people like I do on the audio side really, that have done various trips. Could be about books, But the whole point of the live streaming concept is the fact that the viewer can get involved at the time you're doing it. And I've been watching a few of these live streams now, nothing to do with the outdoors, more to do with the actual subject matter of live streaming itself and the technology. There's quite a lot involved in it. But it is interesting when people pull in comments, feedbacks, video, interviews from people live within the show. And I was thinking, I think that would be quite an entertaining and informative outdoors topic to bring under the same technical umbrella. For example, it could be we send out a note in some format or other. We send our note before the show and say, send in your last wild camp photos. And so we could very quickly bring those in. We could interview somebody, and during the process of that interview, you, the viewer, could be firing questions in which we'll put to the person concerned. Whether it's, you know, about the trip or about equipment or whatever's associated with whatever the content is, really. That seems to work quite well. It's quite interesting, especially with products or product launches. I've noticed people are doing a product launch about a particular piece of equipment. There are numerous aspects and numerous questions that sometimes they've never actually thought about that the end user wants to know before purchasing the item, which I think is quite interesting. So that could be quite fascinating. There's also the option of bringing in a live interview or a live moment. Now, okay, that sounds interesting, but not very exciting. But just imagine, because of this day in technology and everybody wandering around the hills with their 4G phones, what happens if you brought in somebody who was actually out on a wild camp at this very moment? So I might be pulling together the show, and then somebody dials in who's on top of Snowdon, for example, or somewhere, and you actually see the view of what it's like at that very moment, where they're located, what they can see, if they're camping, you know, what they're doing that evening, whatever it may be, and then the questions could be fired at them, and they could obviously reply with the appropriate information. What about if he put a note out before the program saying, okay, I want a 30-second review on so-and-so piece of equipment. Have you had any experience with it? So people could quickly record something on their iPhone or on their Android, whatever it may be, or even on the computer, send a link, and instantly that forms a 30-second review. Put 10 of those together and you have a 5-minute review from members of the outdoor community who have tested and used that particular item, be it a stove or a tent or a, I don't know, tent peg, whatever it may be. I was just thinking that could be quite interesting, because okay, let's do a 30-second review on so-and-so jacket or on those shoes or on that walking pole or on that tent or on that campsite or that pub or whatever, and then people could say what they think. Don't you think that would make it an interesting program? I do, certainly from the ones I've seen so far. They're lacking that sort of content which actually is full of variety, and I think particularly the outdoors community could be quite entertaining and quite good fun. And of course it would go out on YouTube and probably Facebook and reach a massive audience over a period of time, and it'd be there in perpetuity afterwards, so everybody has their names in lights. I don't know. Anyway, if you're interested in getting involved with creating a little team, a network associated with us to do that, what I would like you to do, if possible, is join our newsletter. Now, I've got a couple of hundred people so far on the newsletter email database. I haven't been bombarding people with any information, basically because I haven't had the time. But this is my thought. This is my plan. And if you've listened to this podcast and you think you're curious to get involved, it'd be great to have a selection of people from all over the world, Australia, America, any of the other English-speaking countries, obviously, but also anywhere there are people that would like to join in and share their experiences. I mean, wouldn't it be fantastic to say, okay, we'll just do a quick run round. Let's pull in pictures where you are right now. And you have pictures from Australia or Germany or France or whatever, and people are just sharing their passion of being outdoors and whatever it is they're doing. So if that's of interest to you, please go to theoutdoorstation.co.uk, join the newsletter. I think there's a space for a sort of an additional note in there. There's a few questions I ask about favourite pubs and people you think might deserve an interview or deserve some promotion, which is still relevant if you have come across anybody with a new small business, particularly a small British business, that we're always happy to promote people where we can. That goes onto my list, but I will start discussing the topics and ideas with people who are on that mailing list, the newsletter mailing list. So if this appeals to you, please join in. If not, then stay tuned and watch from the wings and see what's going on. You may want to get involved at a later stage. It's purely speculative at the moment and kicking ideas around, but I've sort of got a formula in my mind which I keep discussing with other outdoor people when I see them and say, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think that'll work? Do you think that's a good idea? Would that be entertaining? If nothing else, it'd be a laugh. It would be a laugh. An out and out, let's give it a go, see what it's like. You never know. It could turn into something really interesting, or it could just die a natural death over a short period of time. So I thought I'd just fill you in really with the way things are. That's where I am at the moment. I'm staring at a wooden timber-framed construction which has got the trusses on at the moment and nothing else. As I say, it's bitter cold, and I'm hoping to get that roof on in the next couple of weeks before the real winter kicks in, and at least then I can keep the inside and the wood dry for the next stage and get the windows and doors sorted before getting the cladding and putting the cladding on. But it's an ongoing project, and I don't think I'll have it completed before Christmas, but I'd certainly need to crack on with it while it's a bit quiet at the moment. And if you want to support us in any way, it's always appreciated, but do pop along to Backpacking Light website. A little bit of a blatant plug there, but it's Christmas coming up, so if you know anybody that wants any goodies and we've got them, we'd be more than happy to sell them to you. So folks, until I speak to you again, that's the reason I'm a bit quiet, but normal service will be resumed just as soon as I thaw my hands out and get my project finished, or nearly finished, or close to being finished. Finished-ish. Something like that. So until then, take care, and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.